Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Starting this Shabbat, as it happens every so often, the reading on Shabbat will be different for people who live in Israel versus those who do not. Outside of Israel, it's the eighth day of Pesach, and there's a special reading for the day. In Israel is the day after Pesach has ended, and they will be reading the next parsha, which is Shemini. We have two podcasts this week to help out people who are both inside of Israel and outside. And also, don't fear, because the folks outside of Israel will catch up with the Israelis in time to read Bamidbar on the same day near the end of May. So this podcast is for the eighth day of Pesach, which is observed only outside of Israel. Rabbi David Levenkreuz has prepared a source sheet for this podcast, but unfortunately I don't quite have it yet. I'm expecting that the rabbi will send it to me tomorrow, and then I will post it as a new podcast episode. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty, and he also serves as the director of special programs for Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry, and Chag Sameach. In the Haftarah that is read on the eighth day of Pesach in the diaspora and is not read in Israel, we read, as you can see in your source sheet in front of you, from Yeshayahu 11, we read about Mashiach, about the Messiah. And for this reason, the custom is developed in Lubavitch and elsewhere. On the last day of Pesach, which is Saturday afternoon, Shabbat afternoon this year, to have a Sudat Mashiach, all the leftover matzah and all the leftover wine from Pesach is brought, and people sit together and speak about the Mashiach, because this is seen as being Mashiach Zeit, the time for Messiah. And it's very interesting, although I'm a total Litvak, I've started the custom myself of having a Sudat Mashiach at the end of Pesach. It's just a lovely way to end Pesach, especially since Pesach afternoon tends to be but anticlimactic. You know you're going to be able to eat chametz in a few hours. The chag is over. All there is to look forward to is work the next day. It's a very, very nice minhag. Some years I've invited Pardes students. Some years I've invited friends. And often I've been disappointed at how anti people have been, how against people have been against the concept of Mashiach, how they find it problematic, how to many of them it seems to be something that encourages defeatism and waiting rather than being proactive in the world. So what I thought I would do with together today is to try and understand different ways that the concept of Messiah, of Mashiach and Mashichot, Messianism, has been reinterpreted and interpreted in the modern world, and then based on this present a theory as to why it may still be a powerful concept for us today. Interestingly, for what I'm just about to say, there is an idea, HaMevi Devar B'Shem Omro, HaMer Devar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula Le'olam, somebody who says something in the name of the person who said it brings redemption into the world. And I have to say that I have lots of different notes about Mashiach, which I found in a file of mine. I'm not sure which books I took it from or where I got it from, but if any of it sounds familiar, or if any of you know where it is, please do let me know. I do not intend to plagiarize, God forbid, but rather to spread ideas and concepts I've learned from others. In the secular world, there have been many different movements which Jews have seen as messianic, whether it be democracy, socialism, Bundism, Zionism. Many, many people, such as Irving Howe, who says the essence of Judaism was a hope for the Messiah, which these movements have then transformed into a commitment to radical political change. Karl Marx, Rosa Luxemburg, Leon Trotsky, other Bolsheviks, the New Left of the 1960s, all of these seem somehow to be secular Jewish messianists in search of redemption that is so strong in Jewish tradition. As one person quipped, you can take a Jew out of the tradition, but you cannot take the messianism out of a Jew. Somehow Jews always seem to be drawn to movements to make the world a better place, and the claim is that what they are doing is taking this strong optimism, the strong idea that the world can be different from the way it is now, that is so much part of traditional Judaism, and translating it into secular and immediate terms. A lot of what I've spoken about happened in the arena which was outside the Jewish world, but perhaps the most well-known and successful messianic movement that Jews participated in was the one that was in the Jewish world, which is secular, which is Zionism. And for many, many secular Zionists, either the return to Israel was the coming of the Messiah, the messianic concept and the idea of a personal Messiah no longer holds weight, and instead returning to Eretz Israel and Medinat Israel becomes the coming of the Messiah. Others completely reject the idea. They say, similar perhaps to what some of my friends said, that's an idea for the old days. That is what kept Jews quietistic. Instead of doing things, they waited for the Messiah to come. In the words of a popular Hebrew lyric, Mashiach lo ba hu afilu lo mitkasher, the Messiah is not coming. He's not even calling. He doesn't even, isn't even calling us by phone. The idea is that the messianic idea needs to be rejected in order to be proactive in the world. So thus we see a vast array of different ways that the messianic idea was interpreted in secular Jewish tradition. When it comes to religious Jewish tradition, it's very, very fascinating. If you look at number 2 on your source sheet, you see a statement of Zionist rabbis in Hamelitz newspaper, which was a European newspaper in the early 20th century. And here the rabbis are saying in absolute black and white that Zionism has not got to do with redemption. In fact, it's got very little to do with religion. It's nothing to do with the Messiah. It is to improve the conditions of people who are persecuted. It's a refuge. It is a way to save Jews. A religious Zionist like Reines supported the Uganda Plan. And this, by the way, was a very, very strong idea within religious Zionism. Other religious Zionists were a little bit more forthcoming when it came to Mashiach. People said that the Zionism was a harbinger of the Messiah, but not a substitute, because the coming of the Messiah needed to be miraculous. Thinkers like Alkali and Kalischer felt that Zionism is the Messiah coming about in a natural way. But the idea of Zionism as messianism really came to its fore with Rav Avraham Yitzhak Kook, who said that the non-observant who brought Jews back to Eretz Israel and built Eretz Israel were unwittingly doing God's work. They were doing the work of return to Eretz Israel. And in fact, Rav Kook, when Theodor Herzl died, spoke of him as Mashiach ben Yosef, the Messiah that will announce and set the infrastructure for the real Messiah to come. And this received even greater emphasis through Rav Kook's son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, who, for whom political messianism, army, borders, and war all become part of a religious vision. Many of us hear echoes of this, or even more than echoes, statements of this, in the prayer for the State of Israel, number 3 on your source sheets, Avinu Shebashamayim Tzu Yisrael V'Goalo, Barech Ad Medinat Yisrael Reshit Zmichat Gulateinu, our Father in Heaven, Rock and Redeemer of Israel, bless the State of Israel, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. And indeed there are many, many observant Jews, many, many Orthodox Jews, and many non-Orthodox Jews as well for that matter, who really do see Zionism in messianic terms, whether that be expressed naturalistically or supernaturalistically. Of course, whenever you have a powerful movement like this, you have a counter-movement, and in the ultra-Orthodox world, the Haredi world, Zionism is seen being against the 12th principle, Maimonides' 12th principle, which says that I believe in the Messiah, and though he tarry, va'afal pishet mamea, every day I will wait for him. The idea is that waiting for the Messiah is part of the process. Bringing the Messiah yourself is not. And so we see a very, very powerful idea in the secular world, where some Jews went out of the Jewish world and expressed their messianism in secular terms. We have secular Jews who stayed in the Jewish world and expressed their messianism in Zionist terms. And you have Jews, usually Orthodox Jews, who understood the return to Zion very, very much as being translations of Mashiach idea into modern norms. We're going to move a little to a different idea, different sphere, and look at how different groups of religious groupings, perhaps more known in the United States than in Israel, have dealt with the whole idea of Mashiach. For classical reform Judaism, the emancipation of the Jews and liberalism was the first step of the Messiah. In order to welcome this Messiah, Jews would have to discard their particularism, and whichever country they were in, be it Germany or be it America, would become the new Zion. Political leaders become the Messiah, and you can really understand this. 1800s, Jews are suddenly getting free. This is unheard of, unthought of. Even 50 years ago, no Jew would have thought of this. You can understand how it had messianic terms the same way as for many, many Jews, seeing Yemenite Jews come in the early, late 40s, early 50s by aeroplanes on eagle's wings really seemed literally like Zionist dreams coming true. So the same way Jews saw it in Eretz Israel, some Jews saw it in Europe, that this was the coming of the Messiah. They therefore removed references to the physical return of the Messiah in prayer books, and dispersion becomes an opportunity for Israel to express their mission. Recently, of course, this has changed. The Reform movement has become very, very Zionistic, very positive to the state of Israel. But the Messianic idea remains. If you look at number 4 of the 1937 Conference of Reform Rabbis in Columbus, Ohio, where it says, throughout the ages, it's been Israel's mission to witness to the divine. We need to cooperate with all to establish God's kingdom on this earth of brotherhood, justice, truth, and peace. This is messianism. It's something on the behalf of human beings. It's not personal. There's not a personal Messiah, but it's some era that we are aspiring to. And this is reflected in the liturgy. If you look at the Gates of Prayer prayer book and how it deals with the liturgy, first of all, the words are changed. The actual words in Hebrew are changed. And in English it reads, "Cause the plant of justice to spring up soon. Let the light of deliverance shine forth according to your word, for you await your deliverance all the day. Blessed is the Lord who will cause the light of deliverance to dawn for all the world." It's an era, it's justice, and very, very similar echoes in the Reconstructionist prayer book. In the conservative movement, the messianic idea has been seen as a set of elaborate metaphors generated by deep-seated human and communal needs. Again, the idea of messianic rebuilding has been replaced by anticipating an age in which the religious and ethical teachings of the Torah will become universal, and the conservative movement is agnostic on the questions of human Messiah. If you look at Emet ve'Emunah, the statement of principles of conservative Judaism, it says, "We do not know when the Messiah will come, nor whether he will be a charismatic human figure or is a symbol of redemption of humankind from the evils of the world." Again, holding very, very strongly onto the idea, but not necessarily believing in a human Messiah. The conservative prayer book, Sim Shalom, which I quote in source number 8, does not change the classical liturgy. It keeps everything the same. But again, the translation reflects this idea. "Bring to flower the shoot of your servant David. Hasten the advent of messianic redemption. Each and every day we hope for your deliverance. Praised are you, O Lord, who assures our deliverance." Lots of interesting information. Secular, non-Jewish messianism. Secular Jewish messianism. Orthodox / Zionist Jewish messianism. The non-Orthodox world, which tends to take some aspects from secular messianism, some aspects from traditional Jewish messianism, and meld it together. But what might the messianic concept mean to us today? The Jewish thinker Stephen Schwarzschild points out that there were three reasons that in the 19th century there was a tendency to speak about a messianic age rather than a personal Messiah. One is that they were anti-nationalist. They did not believe that it was good for Jews to see themselves as a separate nation. Two, there was the rationalism of the 1800s, which was suspicious of anything miraculous. And three, there was a belief in the inevitability of human progress. We are just becoming better and better every day. He points out that none of these are valid anymore. Firstly, most Jews are Zionists. Secondly, it is possible to see the Messiah in non-miraculous terms, like the Rambam Maimonides did. And perhaps, most importantly, we no longer believe in inevitable progress. The 20th century has just shown us that that is not true. Add to it that in our world, many, many people are depersonalized. We have a sense of being a cipher, of being a statistic. He says, all the more reason to believe in a personal Messiah. However, it's not enough to believe in the Messiah. One has to wait anxiously for the Messiah. That is what waiting means. We need to feel at every moment that we are lacking something. We must feel and understand what it is to live in an unredeemed world, in a world of exile, powerlessness, separation from God, and no temple. There's a Hasidic saying that the greatest exile is not to realize that one is in exile. But if this exile paralyzes us, if it makes one not engage with the world, but quietistic, I think my friends are right. It is a problematic idea. However, it's not sufficient to sit around. One has to do something about it. The messianic idea means that history has meaning. God is not indifferent. God loves us. God will provide an answer to pain in the world and give hope in difficult times. The messianic era is God's response to what Jewish people do. If we do things, if we create the world in which a Mashiach can come, then we are doing what God wants us to do. God will not allow the world to surrender to darkness and destruction. God is needed for redemption. God will respond to our acts. We have our part to play. I once was at a Seder where somebody asked, they said, why do we open the door for Elijah at the Seder? And many, many people came up with very, very abstruse and interesting suggestions. The host was simply looking for the answer. We open the door for the Messiah. We open the door for Elijah so Elijah can come in. And that is our job. Our job is to open the door so that Elijah is able to come in. Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Chag Sameach. We wish you a wonderful holiday and also appreciate you tuning in. So thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.